This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. I'm Meera Sivasodhi. In the studio with me today is Dr. Sundar Ramasamy. He's a consultant ophthalmologist, and we have an interesting topic today, something we've never really discussed before. It's titled colorblindness. What is it? Can we develop it later in life? You know, is your thyroid connected to color vision? That's what we're going to be exploring in today's show, finding out a lot more about colorblindness. If you have a question for us, give us a call. The number is 03-7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, or just tweet us at BFM Radio. Welcome to the show, Dr. Sundar. How are you today?
I'm fine. Thank you very much. Good to be here.
You just want to go through with me. Would you say colorblindness is a form of blindness, or is it just deficiency in the way we see color? Blindness is a big word, actually.
Actually, yeah. It's a misnomer, actually. It's not blindness per se. It's mainly deficiency. True color blindness does exist, but it's extremely rare. When we talk about blindness, it's basically, in a broader term, it's actually deficiencies. And these deficiencies can be very mild to significant. And of course, those without any color vision at all. So when you use the word blindness, it's actually not the correct term. It should be color vision defect or color vision deficiency.
Okay, but why do we call it blindness? All over the place.
Yeah, it's all over the place. And I guess, you know, people like to just lump it up and make it simple.
Yes,
yeah.
I've always wondered, somebody who has color blindness or color vision deficiency, what do they actually see?
They actually see color, but in a different way. It depends on what sort of deficiency they have or defect they have. They may perceive yellow or red in a different way that we perceive. So they see color, most of them do, but depending on how bad it is, it's perceived in a different way. So it's something that they are quite comfortable with at the initial phase of life when they're young kids, but as they grow up, then they, you know, when they have challenges to meet in school and, you know, in working life, then it becomes something difficult for them.
Mm-hmm. And is it something that you can screen for when they're babies, for an example? I mean, how do they tell you they can see color?
No, not as a baby. Definitely not. You can't screen them at this point because you need them to actually give you a response, mm-hmm. right? You know, what are you seeing? What is this? As a baby, you can't do that.
Yep.
You got probably have to be verbal. You know, a child who's probably preschool between 3 to 6 years old. 4 to 6 years old. Kids now are a lot smarter.
Yes.
So, you know, it really depends on the age. But, not babies, definitely.
And with usual eye tests, do we check children for color blindness? Because, you know, we check our children's eyesight very much later in life. We have this tendency to go and check our children's eyesight only when there is a problem.
Yeah, I totally agree. We are not doing it as something comprehensive right now, but I hope we will in the near future. Color vision or even visual acuity in general. We are not really testing it comprehensively. You know, sometimes it's a bit difficult sometimes in our setting because you have kids in the rural setting, really rural setting.
Yep.
So it may not be so easy to get to them. But yeah, so it's still something that we probably do only when we suspect there's a problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is it common in Malaysia?
Color blindness.
Yes.
Actually, what we have would probably mirror what the entire world has. So it's fairly common. If you're going to take the population as a whole, we're talking about hundreds of thousands, probably a million, more than a million. But it's to different levels. Most of us may not be so bad, actually. It may be mild.
Okay.
Yeah.
And there's something called acquired colorblindness and inherited colorblindness. You want to explain the two?
Okay. When we talk about inherited blindness, that means it's something you're born with. It's something. The other word you use is congenital. That means the day you're born, you've had it.
Yep.
That's probably due to a gene defect in your body. Now, when you talk about acquired blindness, that means it's something that has developed over time. It means you may get it in late childhood, in a teenage life, early adulthood, or late adulthood. So if you're talking about acquired forms, now, if you want me to digress and go into some of them, it's like, you know, if you have, say, glaucoma
okay.
is a condition that you have increased eye pressure, and if it's left alone, it can actually cause visual field loss, and over a period of time, you know, you get your vision becomes tunnel vision, and then you slowly lose vision. You lose your acuity, sharpness, and you also lose color vision over that period of time.
Now, and that's because you have an abnormal optic nerve.
You have abnormal eye pressure. That eye pressure then compresses upon the optic nerve and the retina, and it causes loss of cells, and then eventually you get damage to the optic nerve.
So somebody who could possibly have glaucoma
could have
color blindness as well.
And even the more common things, like even a cataract for that matter. Cataracts are very commonplace. Now, if you have certain types of cataracts, it will disturb your color vision. Now, you may be looking at things like an old color TV. So there'll be a loss of that pristineness in your color.
Yeah.
So these are conditions that you can acquire. Of course, there are more rarer conditions like things like retinitis pigmentosa. That's actually a genetic condition, but it doesn't really manifest itself early at birth, but a bit later, maybe in early childhood, later part of childhood, or in early adult life, where you start losing the function of the retina. It degenerates, and eventually what happens is it will affect your color vision also.
Okay, so glaucoma, those are the acquired,
ones,
color blindness. Any other conditions?
You can talk about even diabetes, actually. It's interesting because diabetes is it's very prevalent in Malaysia right now, and a large segment of our diabetic patients get, if they're not well controlled, over a period of time can have damage to the retina, in the sense they get bleeding. And the central part of the retina, which is called the macula, can get inflamed and it's swollen. And all your cells that are involved in color vision are in that macula, most of them. So, that'll affect your color vision, apart from, of course, reducing your quality of sharpness of vision or acuity of vision.
See, we always talk about diabetic retinopathy.
Yeah, that's exactly the one.
As being very common with, diabetic patients.
Yeah.
But to think that even color blindness can become a problem.
Issue, actually, it can. Diabetes affects your whole body, basically, Your vision, your color vision is no exception.
Okay. Yeah. So you just want to, if you can avoid it, you want to avoid it.
Yeah.
So we've got acquired, and you've spoken about the congenital color blindness, the causes for this. Would you say it's a physical or is it a chemical damage?
Yeah, it's a bit gray, in the sense that it's both, I would say. Now, if you look at the retina, that means the nerve layer inside the eye, it basically has got what we call photoreceptors. And these photoreceptors, there are two types. One are the rods and the other are the cones. Now, the rods are important for night and day. It means for contrast, basically, dark and bright. And the cones, which are actually in the center, in the sensitive spot in the retina, the macula, most of them are there anyway, they are involved in color vision. Now, you've got three types of cones, which translate for three main color types. That's red, green, and blue.
Okay.
Now, these cones, now, if they are either defective, that means they are not functioning properly in a chemical sense, they don't have enough pigments, or if they're absent in a physical sense, then you're going to have issues with your color vision. You're going to have some form of color vision defect or deficiency.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Interesting. All right. So it's or could it be just transmitting of information to the brain?
Yeah, it could be also. Now, coming back to that, it's interesting because if you do have a stroke now, it could affect your color vision. Now, we got strokes at the level of the brain, then you can have vessel blocks in the level of the eye, retinal vein occlusions, artery occlusions, and all those things can actually affect your color vision. So, that's neural to the brain. So it can. Not so common, but it can affect your vision.
So with an acquired color blindness, something is happening because you see a change.
Correct.
But with congenital color blindness, you don't know better.
Actually, it's interesting because a child who's born with color vision deficiencies or poor vision, they won't know because they've never known what good vision is or what proper color vision is. And they just go around managing, Now, if you tell a child with color vision deficiency that is a red tomato, they may see it differently. But what they see differently is what they perceive as red.
Yes.
And they go on doing that. Now, the problem comes when they go to kindergarten or when they go to school and they're supposed to do activities with color. All their friends manage and they find it difficult. And then get laughed at or get poked at, and then it becomes an issue. Then that's when they realize maybe there's something not right. Or when they dress, odd. Yeah, the color's all off, Pink shirt, green pants, something like that, right?
Yeah.
So then these become issues, and then this may arouse a suspicion either for the child himself or for the parents or the teacher, a caregiver. And that's when, they are brought and tested and checked, and if they have a problem, then they... You know, it is.
Yeah. I mean, it's just looking at, you know, reading online and looking at some of the photographs of how people who are color vision deficient would see photographs. And and they look so much like the filters we use on our phones.
Correct, yeah.
To make our pictures look different. But, you know, it's and we consider that art to a certain extent. But this is what people see.
It's how they perceive things.
How does it stifle one's quality of life? I mean, based on your experience.
It's a very interesting question. You know, it's probably going to be, you know, they're going to manage. They all manage, if not, you know. But it's going to be frustrating, I think. That's the word I'd use, you know. Along the way, you're going to have problems, you know. Okay, I'm playing a computer game now. Is this red or is this green? Am I pressing the... But they manage, they move on. As children and as young adults, I guess if it comes to, you know, an adult looking for a career, then again it may become a problem because there's some jobs you can't do.
Yes, pilots, for an example.
You can't be a pilot, or, you know, you're going to be a marksman in the night and things like that. I'm sure, you know, you're going to have problems, right? So that, or certain engineers, you're working in the dye industry and things like that, you can't do this sort of work. So, yeah, this is the things that they may face. But, I mean, all said, I guess they manage. Yeah, they do. Yeah.
It's not a huge disability.
It's not a huge disadvantage.
Okay.
It's just they move around it. Yeah.
Okay, we'll come back and find out if there are certain treatment options. Yeah. I was reading about a contact lens, a prototype in Halifax, which, you know, could possibly help with people with colorblindness. We'll come back and find out more up next. If you have a question on colorblindness, or better known as, well, I think it's a better word to use, color vision deficiency, give us a call. The number 03-7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, or tweet us at BFM Radio. Good afternoon and welcome to Health and Living. In the studio with me, Dr. Sundar Ramasamy, a consultant ophthalmologist. We are discussing color vision deficiency, better known amongst most of us as color blindness. I think Dr. Sundar has, you know, gone through with us some of the acquired color blindness, where, you know, you sort of get it through time, you know, in life. Whether when you have sometimes glaucoma, cataracts can bring about this whole color vision deficiency. If you are diabetic, it could possibly cause that as well. I forgot to ask you one question about aging, Dr. Sundar. Does age, with age, do we become color deficient?
We do, because if you look at these conditions I just spoke about, glaucoma, also cataracts, they're all related with age. Actually, you find it more in the aging population. Now, you've got another condition called age-related macular degeneration.
Yes.
Now, that's very much related with age. You get it in, you know, the aged population beyond the age of 65 years. So they get these degenerative changes in the macula, which contains most of your cone cells, the photoreceptors for vision, color vision. So if you're going to get bleeding there, if you're going to get, you know, a degenerative change, an atrophy, we call it, then you're going to lose your color vision to a certain extent. So age does play a role.
A huge role. Okay. And you've also spoken about congenital color blindness, meaning you're born with that. And therein lies the problem of diagnosis, because, you know, you only find out later when children go to school that they're unable to see color in the right way. But speaking about that, there are different types of color blindness. So it's not everybody sees the color deficiency the same way.
Okay. Now, it's interesting because we the normal people, in the proper term, are known as trichromats. And so we have trichromacy. It means we can see all three colors because we have all three cone types.
And that's red, green, and blue.
That are working equally well.
Okay.
Then we have those who are called trichromous anomalies. And so they have all three cones that are working, but maybe one of them is not working too well. So what happens is, that cone, say the red cone, may not be functioning fully, maybe functioning probably at 60%, or it's not giving proper full function. And that will cause a little change in the color, as how they see. It's not too bad, but mild, subtle differences. That can vary. So if you have red color deficiency, mild red color, we call that a protonomaly. Then blue would be tritomaly, and green would be deutromaly. So those are conditions where all three cones are there, but they don't, one of them may not be functioning properly, right? Now, we have a second group, okay, where we don't have one cone. That means one cone is missing. So maybe your red cone is missing.
The entire cone.
Red cone is missing, or your red cones are missing, or your blue cones are missing. So now it's interesting because the red cones tend to receive the most of the red spectrum of light and some of the green spectrum of light. Likewise, the green cones accept most of the green spectrum of light and some red spectrum of light. So what happens if you are missing either the red cone or the green cone, either one of them, you may have problems with red and green, not just red alone.
Right.
So that's why when you talk about color vision deficiencies, we always clump up the red and green together, red-green deficiencies.
Right.
Okay? So those with only two cones working are called dichromats. You know what trichromats? Dichromats. So when we when we have those with red cone deficiencies, we call them protanopias. And then we have those with green cone cell deficiencies, those are deuteranopias. And of course, we have those with blue cone deficiencies, or those who are absent, right? Those are called tritanopias. Now, red greens are the ones which are most common. Tritanopias are very rare.
Why is that?
Okay, now, coming to that. Interestingly, now, the genes for red and green are in the sex chromosome. Okay. Okay, so it's
and
it's
in the Y chromosome.
It's in the X chromosome.
Oh, is that why the boys seem to be affected by it most?
Correct. So
right.
This is a little bit complex, but if you were, I summarize it. Now, so you have this defective gene that codes for color vision. It's in for green and for red and green, and it's in the X chromosome. Now, if, you know, males have only one X chromosome.
Yes.
And females have two X chromosomes. So if you have one defective gene in your X chromosome, then you're going to have symptoms of color vision deficiency.
For the boys.
For the boys. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because they only got one.
One, X, right.
Yeah.
And then for the girls, you need to have, you have two X chromosomes. So you need to have two, in both X chromosomes, deficient and defective genes. So that's a lot rarer. That's why when you take the population at large, now if you were to take 100 males, about 8 of them would have some form of color vision deficiency as compared, and most of them are red-green, as compared to girls,
who
1 in 200.
Who would have thought that? My goodness me, the poor boys.
Yes. So these are for red-green, 1 in 200. But if you're talking about the blue color deficiency, it's very rare because they are in the normal genes. They're not in the sex chromosomes, right? Sorry, the normal chromosomes, not in the sex chromosomes. So that's very much rarer.
Okay.
Yeah.
So would you say the boys are, you know, do you see many boys coming through your doors with color deficiency?
Most of the time they're boys.
Mm-hmm.
I hardly see girls coming through.
It must be quite difficult for
yeah,
them.
Yeah.
Because as you said, it's an it's an inconvenience.
Inconvenience. But interestingly, they always come happy. They happily point at you at the wrong colors and they're happy after that.
Because I'm just thinking a lot of the, lot of the professions that boys pursue, it's difficult if you are colorblind.
Exactly. Because, you know, boys are boys. They do more robust activities and, you know, jobs also, maybe more outdoors. Yeah. So, yeah, it may affect them. So that's why, you know, if you have this, eventually your job scope may be a bit more limited. Yeah.
Mm. Okay. What do they end up doing?
You can teach us, or, you know, you can. Why
how
not?
Do you, you teach us? I mean, how do you teach children color?
You can teach language.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That is true.
You can teach math.
Yes, absolutely. Didn't think of that. So it's more common in men than in women.
Yeah.
And most of them, it's congenital then?
Yeah, but I missed out one. I forgot to mention about the very rare type where they don't, you know, they're just born without any cone pigments. That means these are the real colorblind individuals. They're
black
very rare. They're 1 in 30,000 or more.
So they see the world
black and white. Yeah, shades of black and white. Yeah, yeah. So
wow.
Those are the real colorblind individuals.
Yep. 1 in 30,000.
Yeah, around that. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. And how do you diagnose when the boys come to you for an example?
Right. So the most common way of testing is what we call the pseudo isochromatic charts. These charts are actually also known as the Ishihara charts. I'm sure some of you have heard of it. It's got this round circles with colors in it, and it's made into patterns of numbers, right? So it's then put in about 38 plates, right? And so, and then you bring the individual or the child over and they go through the plates one by one and guess those numbers out and see how well they do. Some of the plates are made in such a way that a normal person with normal color vision may not see it, but the person with color deficiency may see it.
Right.
So you've got two types. One they will not see and one they will see. So they go through the whole those plates, and then we then score them and see where they stand.
Okay. Yeah. We have a question from, I can't pronounce the name, but, you know, let's go to the caller. Hi, who's on the line? Hello?
Hello.
Hi, who's on the line?
All right, my name is Bert.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah. Oh, you have a question for us.
Yeah, so regarding this topic, I have a friend who is colorblind. And, like, pretty soon he plans to get his own driver's license. So is there any way, like, how will he, like, pass the colorblind test?
Okay, now, this is a good question.
Thank you very much for that.
Yeah. Now, if it's for a commercial license, you know, if he's colorblind, I think it's a no-no. Because once you go for your testing with the RTD, the Road Transport Department, they normally put you through this color test. They've got plates on a software program, and then you go through it. Now, if it's for commercial licenses, then, you know, if you've got issues with your color vision, I'm sure they're not going to pass you. But now, coming
commercial
back to,
meaning you want to drive
a lorry, or, you know, you're going to take a truck or a bus, things like that. But now, if it's for your personal license, you know, if you fail it, they sometimes, it depends on how bad you are. If it's not too bad, they may actually send you to a eye doctor to get you tested again. And based on that recommendation, they may then reconsider, right? So it really depends. So if you are taking it for your personal license, then you may stand a better chance.
Okay. But is it safe, though, for somebody to be colorblind? I mean, because I do know, for an example, in the UK, if you are epileptic, you get your license taken away.
Yeah.
What about colorblindness?
If you're colorblind, you know, if you really can help it, then maybe not. Yeah. Now you would know yourself. You know, most of the time, if it's significant enough, I know if you've got real protanopia, real significant red color blindness, don't go ahead with it. You know, because you're not on the road. It's not just about you.
Yes.
It's about the general public at hand. So yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's why the RTD is quite strict about it. Anyway.
So how do you correct this? Can it be corrected at all?
Unfortunately, at this point of time, if you're talking about the inherited form of color deficiencies, we don't have any proper treatment. It was interesting. I saw a TED video once, this chap from the US, you know, somebody told him, you know, they've got some glasses that you can actually use. He traveled hours on end to try it out and realized it didn't make any difference. So there's really no treatment at this point of time.
Why is it so difficult? Because there's a lady in Halifax who's come up with a contact lens prototype.
I mean, it's something that's still, the verdict is out there.
What is the challenge?
The challenge is actually, you know, I would think it, rather than trying to physically correct with contact lenses and, you know, maybe pigmented lenses, I think the thing would be more towards gene therapy rather than trying to correct the externally. So I would think, I may be right, I may be wrong, but in time to come, they may be aiming towards gene therapy, correcting those defective genes, rather than trying to give you, you know, contact lens or a pair of glasses.
And we are sure of the gene that causes this.
Yeah, we have these genes.
Then it shouldn't be a problem, though, should it?
But it's not so easy.
I mean, we talk about targeted therapies for breast cancer because of the BRCA1 gene and all of that.
Yeah.
And the challenge is always identifying the gene, number one, and make sure that it's not, you know, multi-genes that's causing a problem. And if this we know for sure.
Yeah, you know, all this takes time, it takes money, it takes, you know, a lot of years of research. I know in cases like retinitis pigmentosa, it's a condition where it's genetic in nature, and they got many genes that causes the retina to degenerate early, and, you know, you lose vision. We know there's one which is called the RP65 gene where we can actually do gene therapy. Now, they're attempting now at the early phase, they're getting encouraging results. But, you know, that's still some way to go.
Even with
early stages, there's still some way to go with it, but encouraging results. So I guess in time to come, all these will probably have some form of treatment. You know, I can't give you a timeline, mm-hmm. but not at this point of time right now.
Okay. Yeah. All right. It's the sex gene, you know, the X gene.
The X gene. Blame it on your mom.
Yeah. No, yeah. I don't think I want to do that.
Your dad's never passed it to you, you know? So it's your granddad or your mom.
You know, that's only for congenital.
Congenital forms, yeah.
But
agreed,
when you talk about acquired, then there's very little you can do.
And acquired, you can treat. You know, you treat the underlying cause. Now, if you've got, if you have, say, age-related macular degeneration, now we know there are certain types of injections you can put into the eye that helps to improve it. Now, you've got diabetic retinopathy, we know we can do certain injections in the eye, we can do laser therapy. So these can actually be corrected or improved. I rather use the word improved. Glaucoma, you can treat with drops and surgery if you need to. So the acquired ones, yeah. Cataracts, you just operate on the cataract, change the lens. So these you can actually treat. Yeah, but the inherited ones, not really, not at this point. Yeah.
And does colorblindness sort of affect your vision as a whole?
Yeah, I mean, it would.
In the long term?
Long term. I mean, it's not as bad as, you know, losing vision to, you know, retinal scarring and all that, where, you know, the acuity drops. But you have fairly clear vision. It's just that you see color in a different way. Most of them, as they grow up, they manage, you know, they eventually do manage. It's like some, you know, it's interesting when you talk about it. We have individuals who don't have depth perception. You know, 2% of our population may not have, though they see well. So, they, you know, you put them on 3D glasses, they may not see a 3D movie. But they manage eventually, you know. They learn through experience. So they manage to maneuver around it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And over time, does the color deficiency become worse?
Not really. These are if you're talking about the inherited ones, no. They are basically stable and static. Yeah.
Okay. So there's in the inherited ones, there's really nothing much you can do to prevent
Correct.
It.
Correct.
But with the acquired ones, then I suppose mm-hmm. You can.
Correct.
Okay. So quality of life generally, people who have colorblindness?
You'd be surprised. You'd be having people with colorblindness walking among you.
You wouldn't
realize.
Know it.
Yeah.
Okay. What about, there was this one research about how the thyroid hormone could possibly affect the color vision. And is this for congenital or acquired?
This is more, it's for both. You know, it's some interesting research coming out from Germany where they've taken mice. And they've taken out their thyroid glands, and they realize that the thyroid hormones may be involved in deciding the type of pigments on the cone receptors. So what's red, what's blue, what's green? So if you don't have that, or if it's deficient, you know, you're born, you know, in children or babies, you know, that's what it postulates, that if you don't have enough of that, it may lead to some form of color vision deficiency. Now, they've also realized that, you know, when they take adult mice also, they take out this, they reduce the hormones in them. They find over a period of time, their color vision deteriorates. So if you've got issues with your thyroid hormone, or long term, what it tries to say is even as an adult, may develop issues with your color vision.
Okay, but then with people with hypo or hyperthyroidism,
it'd be hypo rather than hyper.
Hypo.
Yeah, hypo.
But then you supplement.
You can supplement. So I mean, I guess by the time you're going to have color vision issues due to thyroid deficiency in an adult, you probably get it rectified. So it may be not be a problem for you if it is indeed the thyroid. Yeah.
Okay.
But it may be for a child, we do not know. Yeah.
Which is when you really don't
know. But I mean, the research is still coming out, and I guess we'll know with time.
Okay.
Yeah.
So who should be screened for colorblindness?
I mean, in terms of, it's actually difficult. Ideally, you know, in an ideal situation, I probably would screen all my 4 to 6 year olds. Yeah, in kindergarten.
Just in general as
well. In general, yeah. Just get them screened, get their acuity screened, get their color vision screened, get their depth perception screened. Yeah, why not?
No harm.
No harm.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for joining us today.
You're welcome.
For enlightening us about color vision deficiency, better known to all of us as color blindness. Dr. Sundar Ramasamy, a consultant ophthalmologist on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.